I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
The Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
What's up, trivia nerds? Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power. And laughter is our only reward. We got everybody with us. Kelly, Nick, Scott, Brian. That's the whole crew. Anybody got anything important to say tonight?
No.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm ready to play.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a special episode.
We don't have the time
for
everything I need to say.
Are you sure we can make time for you, B?
You talk too much as it is.
I think he used up all that was in his brain anyway with that statement, didn't he?
For you not liking people talking, you sure do talk a lot.
Yeah, fair point.
I don't know why I'm doing this. Hang on with you guys. I don't get it.
Well, we appreciate that you're here, buddy. We want to remind you, we have a merchandise store. You can get some sweet apparel from going to our website, theultimatetriviapodcast.com. Right at the very top, there is a link. Click on it. Get yourself something awesome. Make sure when people ask you about it, you let them know where to find us. If you would like a free t-shirt, send us a question. If we use it on the air, we got a coupon code that we'll send out your way. And you can get yourself a free t-shirt of your choice. We've got a lot of different options out there.
Yeah. The goal is to get one of everything
for the fans. It's a collector's edition each way you go, yeah. Right?
Can I ask a question?
Multiple colors if you want.
That was it. Do I get a free t-shirt? Oh.
We didn't use it on the air, unfortunately.
We'll cut that out.
But we do. we do have one from Judy the hairdresser that we're going to go ahead and ask the crew right now. Her question, what is your favorite muscle car? And, okay, if you don't necessarily have one, if you were a muscle car, which one would you be? Who's got an answer out of the gate for me?
Well, I mean,
mine's
not, I don't think you would call it a muscle car, but from an early age, I was infatuated with Lamborghinis.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. I wouldn't call that a muscle
car. No, it is definitely not.
A luxury car.
It's a luxury car.
Performance car.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is, I had the poster in my bedroom for as long as I can remember.
Okay.
And just was really fascinated with those vehicles. I don't know if it was because of the way the doors opened. Mm-hmm.
That is really cool, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, unheard of until, I guess, Back to the Future.
There's a Mercedes out there, C-111, I think, from the late 60s that had the gull wings similar to the DeLorean.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Now, Scotty, I actually wrote two down. I'm not going to say both of them because you're going to say one. Well, no, there's a really specific reason here for this one.
Okay.
My favorite, I assumed Scott was going to steal because I usually go last.
Oh.
Okay.
So when you think back to a muscle car, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Traditional, what do they call it? Detroit muscle.
Oh, the first one that comes to mind?
Yeah.
For Scott or anyone?
I'll let anyone go, but I expected Scott to be
the Mustang. For me,
Mustang?
No.
Ooh. For me, GTO. Mm. And I go there because my dad had a GTO, and it's considered one of the, you know, a lot of people consider it the greatest muscle car ever, like 66, 67.
Sure.
So that's where I go. Not my favorite, but that's where I go personally.
All right.
I know what you're thinking then.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. If it's not Mustang, then I know exactly what you're thinking.
What is it?
Camaro.
No.
What?
Are you thinking about are you thinking Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
1969 Dodge Charger, the General Lee
Challenger.
Are you sure?
Charger,
I believe.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because now, like, the Challenger's the two-door, the Charger's the four-door. So that's
that's
why I was, you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
You're not starting off the night strong, B.
0-1.
We haven't even started yet.
0-0. I'm going to go with the Chevelle.
I'm with you on that one, I think.
Chevelle.
I like Chevelle.
Is that Dom's car? Did he have a Chevelle?
One of many. Yeah.
The first.
But he also had a Charger. Yeah. And then they had every car. And he's talking Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
They've had every car.
Well, okay. The original.
There's
black.
11 of them or whatever.
They lost one when Paul Walker hit a tree.
Oh, jeez.
Ouch. Too That's, soon.
Wow.
And I think they left one in space.
That one, I think that one came back. They didn't lose it in space. They brought it back.
Oh, okay.
After they smashed a satellite. I mean, obviously. Well, they T-boned a satellite in space. Not.
That yeah. happens.
They ran a red.
Why do we always go? Why is it? They ran a red.
Kelly, you got one over there, brother?
I'm with you on the Chevelle, though, B.
Yeah, I like Chevelle.
Yeah, I mean, just there's several cars in that late 60s period that I love. You know, GTO is one of them. I love the Camaro, 69 Camaro. If I could have one, I would buy one and put it together, mm-hmm. start rehabbing it now. But I think Chevy Supersport was a big mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. And my dad actually had a 1970 Cutlass Supreme when I was growing up.
Wow.
And that looks a lot like a Chevelle.
It does. Yeah. It's very yeah. similar body
and
style.
And I like that car, yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember when I was in high school, you know, he bought it. It was black. They you know, sanded it off, was, you know, fixing it up. And I was kind of embarrassed to drive it, but the engine was badass.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. I bet.
But and then he fixed it up, painted it red, and then I would cruise around in that thing.
It was a cool car.
I went really fast a lot of times in that car.
Oh, sorry, Dad. Sorry, Connie.
Well, my brother's the one. I think he cracked the engine block once because he drove really fast, and I don't know if he knew how to drive quite like I did. Sure. So there you go, Chris.
Nice. Busted
him out. So my dad told me he got his GTO. Like, he saved every penny. Like, he pinched hardcore to buy that GTO. Sure. And so his parents were like, hey, let's see what the big deal is. So he took him for a ride. And he got up to like 150, and Grandpa's like, "Okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah
that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Get it. It plays.
Take it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Nick, did you go?
Well, not really, yeah. But I'm gonna roll mine into the second part of the question. Of what would you be?
Right? Okay, yeah, I like it.
So mine's not truly a muscle car, and I'm rolling to because I'm with you on the Chevelle B. That's probably my favorite as far as traditional muscle car, but the old school Chevy C10. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm thinking these are early 70s, so it was a wider body, shorter, closer, lower to the ground.
Describing myself.
Yeah, makes sense. Stocky. It was a stocky build, but it's like it was, you know, very squared off. You know, cornered, really tight corners.
A truck?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm thinking, I know exactly what you're talking about.
If you look it up, yeah. But I always dug those, and I still want to get one day. But yeah, it just seemed like it was a wider, stockier truck. So yeah, kind of. Epitomizes
I bet it growled, well. Though, didn't it?
Oh, it had growl? Bite. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it unreliable?
Never.
Okay.
Never. Very reliable.
Was it hideous to look at?
It was a work truck.
So I didn't technically go there, by the way. This is my loophole to get two of them in.
Sure, you got it.
There was a, my stepdad always pointed out a Plymouth Superbird. Anybody heard of that before?
Yeah.
Superbird. It was like the first car. It was a Roadrunner, essentially, but it was a Roadrunner that was made specifically for the NASCAR circuit. Richard Petty had one and all that stuff. It's got this huge tall spoiler off the back.
Oh yeah, those are hideous. And, I just looked it up.
But you cannot not see it if it's in your vicinity, right? And it is oddly aerodynamic for being a 70s big old boat of a car. Mm-hmm. Too.
It looks like a kindergartner drew it and somebody like made it come to life.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was only like 2,000 of them.
I've seen one of those.
The front end is too long. The spoiler's too big.
Definitely. And there were like 2,000 actually put into production. So to see one is actually kind of a big deal, especially now.
Pretty sure one of those is on Fast and the Furious too.
I have no
doubt. I'm sure.
Guaranteed.
All right. Well, that was fun. Thank you, Judy, for submitting that. We got a t-shirt code for you. And if anybody else wants one, like I said, send us in a question to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast at gmail.com. On our website, we got a form you can submit or all the social media sites. All right. Everybody ready to learn the topic here?
Yeah.
Know it.
It's a special day. It is our 53rd episode officially. I don't know if you guys realize that or not, but this will mark the very end of what we are going to refer to as season one.
I like it.
A full year's calendar worth. You remember we released two episodes at our launch. So 53 completes the first season.
Do you want to do some stats at the end of it, or at least win loss percentage, that kind of thing?
Not really.
Why don't we save that for the start of season two? Yeah, Brian does not want to do that.
You never 0-for, did you?
No, he never opened.
So, I mean, did anybody like go 0 for 10?
I think
they haven't won. Okay. Oh, I think. I mean, you've won episodes. You've never gone over.
Never gone over.
Yeah, right. I don't think you have anything to complain about.
I mean, that's,
you should be proud.
Never go over. I'm proud. That's embarrassing.
I'm proud of you.
What kind of loser would go over?
I mean, that's pathetic.
Well, I could not think of a more fitting topic than to have our first revisited topic from our most popular episode from season one.
Oh.
So we are going to double back on iconic movie quotes.
Gabby, okay.
You betcha.
Okay. Yeah, that recently went up the charts, if I recall.
It is. Okay. Really, since its debut, it has, just been the clear-cut number one most listened to episode. It has stood the test of the release date, and it's still
very popular. Which is impressive, because they're all huge.
Yeah.
Well, sure. We're a big deal here.
I mean, the Halloween
episode fans understand that.
In December is launched. No.
If I'm correct, Scott went 10 out of 10 on that one.
He did indeed.
Yes. And I should have.
And to the fans, if you
You
should have too.
Yes. The Batman one, we should have known that one for sure.
You missed Casablanca, I think.
Yes. That was my coin flip. But then, missing The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight and Usual Suspects. And I recently re-listened to that episode, and I was just furious. Yeah. I was so mad.
Yeah. It's different when you're on air.
It is.
It is different.
It's my filing system, my fact-finding.
Something about it, and then the pressure builds because you can't think of it right away, and people are yelling, "Remember the Titans," at you. And, it gets jumbled up in there. That's all I'm saying. It can become stressful.
Well, and to the fans, if you see me at Target with my kids, just give me a break. I can't constantly be stopped and signing things. It's just be respectful. That's all I'm saying.
Give the guy a break. Yeah. We send the paparazzi home by 10 o'clock. Let him get some rest.
So, Andy, the question is, because I got a perfect score last time, did you crank it up a notch to try to prevent that from happening?
I feel like I did.
Okay.
Oh,
I do.
There's been a handful of perfect scores, though, right? I mean, there's been several, right?
I think you have two.
Doc's got four.
Doc has four.
He's got four, although he didn't win one of the episodes. He lost on a tiebreaker.
That's rough to go 10 for 10.
Hits of the 90s, iconic movie quotes, Saturday Night Live, which aired pretty much more recently, and then the Back to School.
Yeah, that's right. You both got that one. That's right.
Yep.
So I think there is a showstopper in there. There's some layups we want. Right.
Oh, yeah.
We want to live in that space in between.
But the common folk that don't know all these trivia things like us.
So while revisiting one of our most beloved topics, few things stick in our cultural brains quite like a perfectly delivered line of dialogue, whether whispered, shouted, or muttered. The best quotes transcend their scenes and become part of the way we talk, joke, and reference life itself. From misquoted courtroom speeches to one-liners that were never meant to be funny, iconic movie quotes reflect more than just memorable writing. They tell us what resonates. Entire movies can be remembered by one well-delivered line.
That is so true.
Right?
So true.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the line lives longer than the movie does, in our memories at least.
Sure.
Well, I mean, like Casablanca from the first episode, I've never seen that movie, but I know the quote,
Yeah. That
it's in your line lexicon.
Ad-libbed.
Yeah.
I have that fun fact right in front of me. It was completely ad-libbed by Humphrey Bogart. Huh. And here we are, what? When did that movie come out?
No idea.
It's 30s?
Black and white.
30s? I think that was silent.
No, that was that. They didn't do talkies yet.
If it was a silent
film. Wasn't it talking in the 30s?
Not in the movies.
30s, Mike.
Yeah, they did.
Were they?
Is that when when did they start?
Wizard of Oz, 39. I mean, yeah.
Well, it was. Then it wasn't until the 20s because the best film of 1920-something was a silent film that I watched with my wife. It was a flying movie. What was that called?
How bored were you? Wings.
I was very bored. Do you ever watch a silent movie? It's not.
I listen, how bored were you to watch it?
I was bored watching it. She specifically wanted to watch something like that with you. I remember you texting us, what am I doing with
it? It was like AFI's top 100 movies or something like that. Or we were looking at best movies from all the years.
Yeah.
And maybe that was the first best movie, too. I can't remember. Anyway, but it was called Wings. It was late 1920s. So talkies didn't happen too long after that. And it got best movie. Yeah, so I watched it, and it was
quiet. Not the best.
Quiet.
Was there that old piano-y kind of saloon ballroom?
I'm trying to remember. I really do not recall.
Yeah. The Scott Joplin going on.
Yeah, really. All right. Anybody got a prediction for tonight?
My money's on the guy that went 10 for 10 last time. I put my money on Scott.
You're not betting on yourself, huh?
I bet.
Mr.
I mean, Scott or Nick.
Play the odds. I mean, I feel good about myself, okay. But yeah.
I'll return serve and say Nick.
There we go, Scott.
Well,
he didn't mean any.
Was that a bonding moment?
I think he literally had his fingers crossed.
Here, we better get.
They're hugging.
That's not true.
Nick doesn't hug.
That's true. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on iconic movie quotes. Trivia number 2. Here's how it works. I will read out the questions. You will get the movie quote and an incredibly generic description of the movie. You'll write your answers on your whiteboard. When I say reveal, you'll all show your answers. If you get it right, you earn a point. If you don't, we'll probably make fun of you for it. So let's see who ends up on top today. Nick, I see, is on the scoreboard already.
Yes, sir.
Question number 1. Everybody exhale. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. A rule breaker offers life advice in between stunts and shortcuts. Got 3 active markers and a thinker.
So while everybody's writing, we have someone at work leaving, and we were asked to write like quotes. They're making like a Rolodex of like inspirational quotes.
Okay.
And so they said, write down 3 or 4. Anyway. That quote was
beautiful.
One of the 3 I
watched this movie 2 nights ago. It just happened to be on, and I watched it about 80% of it. I picked it up and watched it to the end.
It's on IFC a lot. They'll do runs.
Yeah. It's a great movie. What did you watch it on?
YouTube TV.
What day was this?
What Kelly's saying is he does not know
that. I know he doesn't. I could see that immediately. Huh? No, he doesn't. Oh, he's still thinking. Let me read it again.
Say it again.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. A rule breaker offers life advice in between stunts and shortcuts. This is one you'll get or you won't get, Kelly. We're going to put a 10 count there. He's writing.
I think it just hit him.
He's writing.
No. Oh, still guessing.
Wow.
I don't know how well he knows this movie, but he should. Should know it.
All right, guys. Let's reveal the answers. We got Ferris Bueller's Day Off, everybody, but Kelly says Days of Thunder.
Wow.
Ferris Bueller's
Day Off.
That
was way off.
You were way off.
Samsonite.
Have you seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm just making sure.
Holy crap.
Yeah. This is a movie. So I had a VHS tape at home.
Here we go.
When I was in the 80s. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Top Gun, and Bloodsport were the 3 movies recorded off of HBO, and that hit over and it just played nonstop in my house for a summer.
Of those movies, I've seen Bloodsport the most.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I mean, really? big Van Damme fan.
100%.
Big Van Damme fan. Of those 3 movies.
What was the middle one?
Kumite?
Top Gun?
Yeah. Those 3 movies, I've seen Bloodsport the most.
Ferris Bueller is my favorite of those, but I've probably seen Top Gun the most of those.
Sure.
When I was a kid, I watched it all the time.
Yeah. There was a second tape that had Dirty Dancing, Adventures in Babysitting, and a third movie that it's currently escaping.
Those are good flicks right there. Which
I like the combinations of your movies. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason.
They probably played consecutively on HBO, we just recorded them on the VCR.
We used to do that too.
It's a great movie night, though, have those random ones thrown together.
No doubt.
I wish we still had tapes like that laying around where I could just be like, all right, we're going to go to a tape and just see what's on it.
Yeah, cool.
The kids watching it and everything.
I still have a box of VHSs like that. Yeah,
with miscellaneous films on it?
Yeah.
Their real movie that's on
there? No, I didn't record them. These are family movies.
I borrowed it from a girl in college that ever gave it back accidentally, but I have Office Space on VHS.
Oh, nice.
Classic.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a great one.
Good stuff. All right. Well, this wasn't just a line. It was a worldview. The kind of wisdom you pretend you already believe, even if you were a straight-A kid too scared to skip second period. Fun fact, Matthew Broderick broke the fourth wall 30 times. And Hughes wanted the audience to feel like Ferris was talking just to them.
And I did.
Yeah, I did too. Me and Ferris had a real deep connection on that one.
It was like it was there.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, question number 2. The quote is, would you say I have a plethora of pinatas? A trio of clueless actors are mistaken for real heroes and must face a real villain. Busy markers, guys. You're restoring faith here.
I feel like an accent was required when you asked that.
I got to go deadpan, right?
I know.
I got to go deadpan. Otherwise, that triggers it.
It's not music.
That's
it. That's true.
Would you say you have a plethora?
All right. Is everybody
but then what he follows up with when he asks him, you know, is it because, you know, he's like... Yeah. Like, are you giving me a hard time with it?
Right. Everybody's writing it down, so we're good.
Well, let's just reveal the answer so we can talk about it. It is, in fact, the Three Amigos. I went out and watched this clip on YouTube after having written this, and it is such a good scene. And it's so low-key funny. It's just
the kiss you on the veranda. I think my older brother says that.
Lips are fine.
So many times.
I love when it's at his birthday party and he gets a present. He's like, it's a sweater.
It's so hot there.
What can you say about these guys?
Oh, man. And that trio, man. That amazing comedic trio. Well, it's the rare insult disguised as a vocabulary quiz. One of those lines that sounds polite until you realize you're being absolutely roasted. So plethora became a pop culture buzzword after this film, and it's still a go-to joke for anyone trying to sound smarter than they are.
Plethora. Yeah, what does it mean?
What does it mean? So, an abundance.
Okay. If anybody listening to this has not seen that movie, the entire cast here is saying you need to watch that movie.
That is, it would be inexcusable to consider yourself a pop culture trivia connoisseur and not know.
You have to know that movie.
That movie's fantastic. Whoa,
so many lines.
Great movie.
All right. Here's another one. I feel like this room's going to get pretty fast. No pressure. Question number three. Two words. Nice Beaver. A seasoned investigator uncovers something ridiculous. The quote is, Nice Beaver.
I want to say Kelly, the fault line so bad.
Okay.
I want to say the reply so bad.
Just the movie's, it's escaping my mind. I know exactly what I can picture the scene.
Yeah.
I was considering writing what was said next.
That's what he just said.
I wanted to say it so bad. Yeah.
Did you get there?
I hope so.
Okay.
Another movie. Right. So many great lines.
Scott is writing, I think, the entire script on his board over there.
Well, I'm just adding, we'll talk about
some delight.
Some fluff.
Okay. One last time. Nice Beaver. A seasoned investigator uncovers something ridiculous. Let's see the boards. The Naked Gun from the files of Police Squad from Nick and from Doc. Naked Gun from Kelly. Naked Gun from Brian. That is a 100%er. Nice job, guys. So what's the following line?
After
thank
that
you.
One?
I just had a stuff.
There it is. There it is.
Leslie Nielsen, the legend.
Genius. Legend, so genius. So many lines.
Deadpan. Literal humor.
How he did that without cracking up.
I know.
I'm sure when they actually did the movie, there had been tons of laughs.
I mean, when he's the umpire and he is striking guys out and doing the splits and stuff. Come on. How is anybody keeping it together?
It's Enrico Palazzo.
Here's another one, listeners. If you don't know this movie or this series of movies,
you have to see them all.
You absolutely must. No doubt about it. All right.
Being rebooted with Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane's doing it.
There's a trailer out already.
Yeah. Is there? Yeah. Liam Neeson?
Yes.
But I mean, apparently, the original, he wasn't, he wasn't a comedy actor his whole career.
No, yeah.
Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah, he was a serious actor, too. So, you never know.
Leslie Nielsen, he and Seth MacFarlane must have some kind of friendship or something like that. Because he was in Ted, too, as well.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say Ted, too, but I mean Ted as well. Or maybe it was Ted, too. I can't remember, but he was in that.
Who's on first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Third base.
I just think about baseball.
Well, this joke walks a tightrope so thin it should collapse. But when delivered with complete deadpan sincerity and followed by a literal stuffed beaver, it sticks the landing like a gold medal gymnast, man. That is something else. Leslie Nielsen's straight-faced delivery was so perfect, they kept the scene in without even testing alternative takes.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
It's
fantastic.
So impressive.
All right. Well, we got some good scores going. Question number four is coming, and I I'm curious if this one might be a zero.
Oh, okay.
Question number 4. I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight. Oh, I got to read the description. In a world of power suits and power plays, one assistant gets a crash course in ambition. Okay, let me go through the whole thing again here. Quote is, I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight. The movie description is, in a world of power suits and power plays, one assistant gets a crash course in ambition.
I think I got this one.
Do you?
I think so.
Nice. I don't know the quote, but I think the movie description helped me.
That did help me. That brought it home.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure if I have the title right. There could be a...
Okay.
Yeah, I think I got this one.
Could be some words from a different movie.
I want to make a decision on how much I'm going to scrutinize the answer before I see the answer.
Oh, man.
But I don't know how that I can because there's so many.
Just make a decision.
Can we go one more time with it, Andy?
Yeah, of course. The quote is, I'm just one stomach flu away from my goal weight. In a world of power suits and power plays, one assistant gets a crash course in ambition.
I will say this. If my answer is wrong, heavily will dispute this one.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I will heavily dispute it. No. Yeah. After hearing it again, I can definitely make a case for this movie if somehow you say it's something else.
Wow.
So maybe I recommend maybe you put the year of the movie in future. That way you can say definitively.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You think it's quoted twice?
No.
A different movie?
No.
Okay.
No, that's you got a point. Yeah. You do have
iconic the actual movie quote. Quotes.
Yeah. But the description, it's, yeah. If it's not in the movie, then wow.
Okay, yeah. Hang on. Okay. I got to write down an answer.
Yeah, go for it.
I need to watch these two movies side by side then, because what you described is this movie.
So you have two movies in your head?
No. That's what I'm saying. I only have this one.
If you're wrong.
If I'm wrong, though, I have a good case. That's all.
Got my head twisted up.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I wrote down an answer I don't even think is correct because the movie I'm thinking of in my head, I can't come up with it. Okay. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
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 But you got to get something
down. Yeah, I got to get something down.
So. Doc, you feel good?
Nope.
No. Kelly? Yeah.
It's a shot in the dark.
Well, we're going to see it. I'm one stomach flu away from my goal weight. Let's see him. We got the Devil Wears Prada from Nick, Tootsie from Scott, Devil Wears Prada from Kelly, Wolf of Wall Street from Brian, one of my favorite all-time movies. The Devil Wears Prada is the correct answer.
That was not what I was thinking.
He shoots, he scores.
I have never seen that.
Emily Blunt would have said that.
But I'm familiar. I'm not even familiar with the quote.
Pathway to Meryl Streep. Pretty star-studded cast.
Actually. Oh, Meryl Streep, Stanley Tucci. I mean, what's her name? Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
No, it's the description that sold it.
From the quote alone, I was going to say Clueless.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I don't know why. That's just what came to my mind. But the description of the movie
assistant,
saved it.
That saved it. The power suits didn't really help me. Is when the assistant. Part.
That's exactly what.
That's why I was like, that's going to be the only thing I could come up with.
I got stuck on the power suits. You know, whatever.
Sure.
So I was thinking the Michael Douglas. They redid it.
Wall Street.
Is that what it's called? Is Wall Street?
That's Wall Street. Gordon Gekko.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking when he said, like, you know, power.
Green is good, baby.
Yes.
Yep.
But usually power suits are referred to as women's suits.
That's true.
Am I correct?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Men have power ties.
Ah.
That goes to their suit.
Yes.
So maybe their power comes directly from the tie.
Nick wears Prada, evidently.
Good Lord. That's a new movie.
who's seen that movie?
I have.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it before.
I've seen it multiple times.
I was stabbed. Meryl Streep in the heart. Like, she was brutal.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Andy?
I have not.
Okay.
Not there's either. No way I could have put up something like that. I'm just saying. There's no way.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie. I'm not.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, if you've ever counted calories while someone else counts couture, this line hits like a guilt trip in a designer heels. It's equal parts brutal, honest, and weirdly funny. As Nick said, Emily Blunt improvised the line. It wasn't in the script. Everyone knew instantly it had to stay.
It's a young Emily Blunt.
Yeah. That's one of her early roles.
Yeah,
very early.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. Very good. Well, we're moving into question number 5, and we're going to get back into the full swing of it. If you get this wrong, I'm going to be very disappointed in the room.
Shoot.
Don't do that.
Pick me out a winner, Bobby. A man steps up to the plate with more than just the game on the line. Come on, boys. Don't let me down.
What else is on the line? It's the game. There's nothing else. I mean,
come on.
Nothing else on the line.
This is not just a moment in a game. This is a moment.
No, it's definitely a moment. I get goosebumps just thinking about it.
Ooh, Well, a fun fact you're going to hear.
Oh, I like a good fun fact.
That might not be this episode. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Pick me out a winner, Bobby. Let's see the boards. We got the natural all the way around. My faith has been restored in the crew. Nice. My favorite baseball movie. Go back and listen to the very first episode, Baseball Trivia 1. We talk about our favorites, and this one is mine for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. I even read the book.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. It's a little more risque, let's just say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Roy Hobbs was a bit of a hornball as a kid. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. A little more true to life.
Yeah, yeah. It might have been written by like a 15-year-old kid or something for all I know.
This is a smut book.
Yeah.
Did you read it or listen to it?
I read this one.
Okay.
I read this one.
Bravo. I did not know you could read.
Yes, I am literate okay. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Sometime.
Yeah.
Well, I know you like to say you read a book, but you listen to it.
That's true. Yeah. I do read most of my books with my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reading a book right now in my ears.
Yeah.
What are you reading?
The Dark Tower series, Stephen King.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
Not with it, but
he used, I think it was the first one. I forgot to text you guys. He used the word sardonic, I think, 5 times.
Oh.
I haven't even heard that word before we had it on this show, and now I'm hearing it in books all the time.
Wow.
I'm reading a book now. It's like I'm 30 pages in, and I've had to look up like 12 words. I don't know how long this is going to last.
It's the dictionary, so it's really confusing.
Dr. Seuss isn't usually that confusing.
Hey, that's how you expand your vocabulary.
Yeah.
It is, but it's slow moving.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, this one's got the old school baseball magic, where the crack of the bat feels like thunder and slow motion sparks fly. If you don't hear a trumpet swell in your head when this line drops, I'm going to need you to check your pulse. The original novel had a much bleaker ending. The filmmakers rewrote it to let the lights explode and let the legend live. Yeah. Can you recall the ending on how it was different?
Oh, the original in the book itself? No, I do not remember. Yeah. No, do not.
Good.
Right. The host would have looked that up, maybe.
Yeah. You know, whoever checks
in the movie,
back,
he's playing so catch with his son in a wheat field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. True.
Absentee father comes back in the kid's life. That's the real story. Mm-hmm. Not about baseball, is it?
All right. Well, that was 5. Let's see where we stand.
All right. So, Scott, Kelly, and Brian all have 4. Just right behind me with 5.
Oh, man.
Yeah, baby.
Speaking of baseball, baby. Perfect game.
Trying to make Scotty correct tonight.
Yeah. Good stuff. Keeping everybody honest. Well, let's jump into the second half. Question number 6. We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams. A mysterious guide leads the curious through a maze of marvels and moral tests. This one will separate some, I think.
Again, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams. Here's the description. A mysterious guide leads the curious through a maze of marvels and moral tests. All right. Doc and Kelly are finished. Nick is shaking a head as he writes.
I don't remember the quote, but I think the description of the movie
okay.
is what I'm going off of. Is what my answer is based off. So.
Gotcha. Same, Doc? Or you feel you went to the board pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm 100%, and oh,
wonderful.
I have a comment afterwards.
Oh boy.
Let me hear it one more time. I have an answer, but I don't feel good about it at all.
Brian, you got a board or an answer?
I got an
on
answer.
Board.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams. A mysterious guide leads the curious through a maze of marvels and moral tests.
And this is what you consider an iconic quote. Okay.
Yeah.
Just one.
I mean, we had Devil Wears Prada earlier.
I know. I'm just saying. Live up to the title next time, yeah. Andy.
Touche. Very good. Let's see the answers. We've got Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy from Nick, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory from Scott. What do we got from Kelly?
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide and Willy Wonka from Brian. Which is the correct answer? Nice wow. job, Queeners.
One of my all-time favorite movies. So
yes, okay.
Yeah.
And I would put it above The Devil Wears Prada.
I
didn't say you shouldn't. I agree with you.
I knew it sounded familiar, but I got it when you gave the description.
So
like
that was my comment.
That's what did it for
me. Yeah. The description is there to it's almost a hint.
They give you context.
Yeah, kind of a hint.
I've heard the line before, but then I'm like, when he said that, I'm like, oh, that's what.
So I remember, I don't know, I guess we need to figure out what defines an iconic movie quote. A line that transcends the movie. Like, I mean, that's, I guess, a benchmark, right?
Yeah, you can, but I feel like that's not probably the most iconic line of that movie.
Just trying to avoid a 10 out of 10.
I understand. And I like it that they're not that easy.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'm
good with it.
Well, I hope we're not alienating the listeners on this one then.
This one is going to get a lot of people, I think.
All right. Well, let's move on to question number 7. We'll bring us back here. And this one I can definitely say is iconic. It's just a flesh wound. An overly confident fighter refuses to back down, even when he's falling apart. It's just a flesh wound. Okay, we got 3 riders, and Nick is chewing hard.
I am.
Do you know the line?
Yes.
Okay, just got to come up with the movie. So that there you go. That defines the iconicness of the line.
Say it again, please.
It's just a flesh wound. An overly confident fighter refuses to back down, even when he's falling apart. Kelly and I eye contact. I'm not sure what that means exactly.
I was looking for the answer in your eyes. Fell in love for a second.
I'm seeing it, and I'm blanking now.
I'm thinking of a totally different movie. It's merely a flesh wound.
Well.
One more time.
Oh, you read the whole thing again.
Hold on a minute. Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's just a flesh wound.
Am I correct?
Well, I was going to talk about how I remember it being, it's merely a flesh wound.
Ah, okay. Oh. Okay. So it is the same. Okay.
But this was fact checked. This was in the script.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
So.
That's the movie I was thinking of. But
an overly confident fighter refuses to. Nick, did that help you in any way?
No. I see the scene, but I just can't.
Yeah.
Put it together.
I just kind of chalked it up as a mandala effect, but I remember it like Kelly does. It's just a flesh wound.
I should know this. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, we got a 5 count. Kelly is finishing up here.
It's not writing.
Just get something that I know what you mean. Yeah, we can get you a new marker. I think we got a handful on the table now.
Whatever.
All right.
I don't have it.
I can't think of it.
All right. Overly confident fighter refuses to back down even when he's falling apart. Literally, let's see it. Monty Python and the Holy Grail from Scott. All I got is Monty Python from Nick, which I cannot accept.
Yes.
Monty Python, Life of Brian from Brian, unfortunately not. Yeah.
No.
Kelly, no.
Right there at the when right before we were going to turn, that popped in my head to throw that. Yes.
So you had to get Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
I mean, there are multiple Monty
Python. Yeah, there is. No, because I could see the knight and the limbs are getting cut off. And for some reason, I just couldn't do it. And then right before the turn, I was like, Holy Grail.
Yeah.
It hit dang it.
Dang. Am I right in thinking those are all like Monty Python movies? Is that right? Is it like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, then Monty, like
Life of Brian?
That's why I was, okay.
The Monty Python, well, so you just did back to back like 2 of my favorite movies, Willy Wonka.
You're welcome.
And then, Holy Grail is one of my favorite comedies.
Sure.
I could watch that movie on repeat because it's so silly.
African Swallow?
But it's, that opening dialogue is one of the most brilliant pieces of writing.
It really is.
Yeah.
I really don't know the Monty Python films that well. Seen them.
Check them out. They're pretty. I mean, they're slapstick.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they're genius, but they didn't hit me like some of these others.
Well, and they did TV too, right?
British comedy troupe, really.
All right. The line that proved British comedy could turn dismemberment into a punchline. Equal parts absurd and oddly motivational. You've definitely muttered it after stubbing your toe.
I can see the scene in my head. It's a great scene.
Yeah.
So funny.
Is that just something that, because I quote that movie, I say that pretty frequently.
Yeah.
It's merely a flesh wound.
Merely a flesh wound. I've always said it that way.
Just misremembering it, or?
Unless my fact checking was wrong, which, that's like 3 layers.
Just a flesh wound. He cuts off his arm.
Yeah.
Tries to continue fighting. Yeah. And then he cuts off his other arm. So the guy kicks him. Then he cuts off a leg and then another leg.
Bumps into him.
Yeah. And then he's like, the guy with no arms, no legs goes, okay, we'll call it a draw.
I think it would be funnier if it was merely a flesh wound.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I need to talk to the writers.
He's like, all right, we'll call it a
So a fun fact here. The fight used a real one-legged actor and a stunt double. Wow. The knight's armor weighed over 50 pounds, almost more than the actor himself.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll bite your ankles.
It also has one of my favorite lines that we can't say on this program.
Though. Okay. Is that from the when the girls are around?
Yep.
Yep. Gotcha. All right. Question number 8. Here's the quote. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. A man defends his actions in the face of uncomfortable truth. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Kelly, you know this dude. Come on, baby. It's in there.
Scott, you shanking this one by chance? Am I getting lucky?
No, not on this one. You'll have to wait till, what are we on?
This is eight.
This is eight.
You have to wait for 9 or 10.
Mm. That's right. Got it, B?
Yep. Hondo.
Nick feels good.
Yeah, I do.
Question.
Let's hear it again.
Read it again, please. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. A man defends his actions in the face of uncomfortable truth. I mean, that's an accurate description, but it could not be more generic to describe this scene.
It describes this scene. Yeah, it does not describe.
Yeah. It describes a movie, actually.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
All right. Kelly. Okay. We ready to run them, guys?
Yep.
You want me on that wall? You need me on that wall. Not even the best line of the movie.
No, that's what I was going to write.
It is, but I couldn't.
Like that's the first name that came up, but I just couldn't correlate the quote. I don't remember that quote. You can't handle the truth.
Comes in like 20 seconds later almost. Yeah, and that is truly the best one.
I deserve the truth.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
You can't handle the truth. Talk about star-studded. That movie's loaded.
That scene.
Loaded.
Oh, my gracious.
Great movie. I mean, when it's on, I watch it.
Rushes it.
The scene when they're down in Cuba and Jack Nicholson tears into him. Like, he's been really polite and accommodating.
Yeah.
And he's like, stand there in your girly. Oh, man. That's a great movie.
I read recently that, you know, they did that scene multiple times. And, you know, one of the other actors said Jack Nicholson was just phenomenal every single time he did. Yeah.
100%.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Colonel Jessup, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely crushes it. Well, this wasn't a line. It was a verbal sledgehammer delivered so forcefully, it turned courtroom furniture into rubble. You don't hear the quote, you brace for it. And fun fact, Jack Nicholson was only on set for a few days, but stayed off camera for the other actors' scenes, earning universal respect and helping shape the film's iconic intensity. Great movie. Mm-hmm. Great courtroom scene. He is on the stand. I could watch that over and over again.
Even with being that star-studded, he stands out that much more than 100%, everybody else.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was 8. We're cruising, guys. Where are we at?
All right. So Kelly's got 4. Brian and myself have 6. And the doc took the lead. He's got 7.
Oh, a little come from behind victory. Well, we can't claim it yet, right?
No. But neck and neck.
These next two will help to differentiate. They are not layups.
That's good.
That's what Nick wants to hear.
Yes. Okay.
Question number 9. I'm walking here. Big city dreams meet even bigger city traffic. This one is a deeper cut, but a line I have said myself many times.
Was that the hint after that?
I'm walking here is the quote.
Yes.
Big city dreams meet even bigger city traffic is the description of the scene and line. Okay. Scotty?
Pressure's on, boys. I'm feeling pretty good about this one.
Yeah.
Nicholas?
I don't feel 100%. I feel good. I'm going the right way.
Kelly wrote pretty fast. Just first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not confident.
Yeah. Brian's going
to also assuming this is another movie where this is not the most iconic line from the movie. So.
But yeah. doesn't define it as not an iconic line.
No, it is iconic.
Yeah.
I know the line. I don't know.
I got you.
I took a shot.
All right. I'm walking here. That's my best.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. All right. Let's see it, guys. Taxi driver from Nick. Midnight cowboy from Scott. Taxi from Kelly. Taxi Driver from Brian. The Doctor has got it right. Midnight Cowboy.
That'll do it.
I'm here.
Pretty sure that was not scripted. Like, he was actually crossing the street and a taxi.
Do you want to read my flavor
text? Oh, I'm sorry.
By chance? This is not necessarily a movie I'm overly familiar with. Is this
you're winning? Don't get all arrogant now. And start stealing this.
Yeah, I know.
The only reason I've seen this movie is because my wife and I, like Nick had mentioned earlier, we were going through some of the top movies. And it was listed on there. And we saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a messed up movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've
seen it once.
Yeah.
It's about an innocent country boy who moves to New York City and experiences city life in a very dark place.
Cultural. Experiences taxis.
popped in my head, and I couldn't get to, because that was the other one I was thinking of, but Urban Cowboy kept popping in my head, and I couldn't get off Urban Cowboy to get to Midnight Cowboy. Yes, that's what I was trying to get to, but Taxi Driver is the only one I would settle on, and when you said Traffic, I was like, you know what? I'll throw that in there as my best guess, because I could not come up with the Midnight Cowboy
part. Yeah.
They also parody this in an episode of Seinfeld.
Do they?
At the very end, where they're on the bus and Kramer's nose is bleeding.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're looking out the bus window.
I had no idea.
Midnight Cowboy reference.
I had no idea.
Did you say Taxi Driver too?
I said taxi, but
okay. I mean, I find it interesting that all three of us said taxi.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and earlier,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
Well, you think of De Niro in that, you know, when he's talking in the mirror and
everything
else.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can picture him doing that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Dang it, Midnight Cowboy.
Well, equal parts character moment and cab dodging survival tactic. The quote was unscripted, unplanned, and so New York, it practically comes with a side of bagel. The line was improvised by Dustin Hoffman when an actual taxi drove into the shot. The director kept it, and it became one of the most famous moments of the film.
Nice.
Sure enough. Question number 10. Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. That's the line. The movie description, a mentor pushes students to make their lives extraordinary. I can see it and hear it and feel it. The goosebumps are just below the skin even. Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. A mentor pushes students to make their lives extraordinary.
I don't know which one I want to say.
Is that confidence on your face, Doc?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's what you're looking.
There's a moment of
combination of good looks and whatever you want to throw in there. No,
I couldn't tell if it was cockiness or humbleness.
You know what it is.
If you think that's what he thinks, then he's drinking heavily.
That's right. You guys got answers. Kelly and Brian have answers.
I think I'm a hundo.
Doesn't matter. Anyone.
Yeah. We got Nick's. Finally.
I don't know which one I want to put down. I got nothing.
My goal is to get five. I have four currently. Okay. To get five, it's a category I'm leery about.
A little weaker on, yeah. Okay, well, number 10, Carpe Diem. Seize the day, boys. Let's see the boards. Dead Poets Society from Scott, and I think Kelly, his marker's dead, and from Brian. That is the correct answer. Dead Poets Society. That's right. Robin Williams. On a desk.
Love that movie.
Amazing.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
That's right.
That name popped in my head, but I've never seen it.
Really?
I've never seen that movie.
What?
I haven't. Okay. I really haven't. No.
No, I mean, you're a movie guy. I'm just a little surprised.
Like, I was thinking Rob Williams, like, With Honors kept popping in my head.
Okay.
You know, so that popped in my head, but it's like, I've never seen it. I don't know for sure.
So you sat down, you thought about seeing a movie, and you chose Devil Wears Prada.
That did happen.
Fast
and the Furious, one through 10.5.
Yeah. Or that silent movie.
Oh, the silent
one.
Now, for some reason, like, when I thought Dead Poets Society, like, the students were, like, their groups. It wasn't so much a teacher. It was, like, you know, these, like, whatever, eight kids that were into something.
I think that's School Ties or something.
Yeah, yes. Maybe. Yeah.
There's a few in there I get I've seen them all, but I get a little, like, School Ties. And
all that. Prep school.
Boarding prep
school. Boarding prep school.
The bigotry. Yeah, all that good stuff.
The good stuff. Well, the quote that launched 1,000 motivational posters and at least 3 midlife crises. When Robin Williams said it, it stopped being a cliche and started being gospel. Fun fact, the line is quoted in commencement speeches to this day, and the film's desk standing scene was based on a real moment from director Peter Weir's School Days. That's cool.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Draw from inspiration. All right. Well, no tiebreaker necessary there. Nicholas, what's the final tally?
All right. It ends. But Kelly, you got your 5.
Sweet. Congrats. Sweet, sweet.
I ended up with 6. Big B in second place with 7. And Doc, the repeating and reigning champion in movie quotes,
oh my
has goodness. 8.
How about that?
I have 9.
The 2-time. Oh, he has 9, he says.
I didn't get the last one?
Failed to
Sorry,
tally.
Apologies. 9.
That figures. You guys have something. I don't know what the animosity there is. Yeah. He's going to short him a point.
We're going to need to swap stations so they don't sit next to each other anymore.
Well, that's the only way I can keep tabs on them, though, because he's trying to dock me a point.
Dock him a point. Dock the dock. That's it. All right. Well, congratulations, brother. All I really want to know from you guys is what movie do you feel like you quote more than any other?
Wow, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Impossible to answer, but we just got to bring it.
No, it's not Adam Sandler movies.
Well,
for me,
for you,
that's 100% correct.
100%. But is there one that you know, we probably don't even think that, okay, well, I'm quoting Step Brothers this time or anything, but is there one over another that you feel like you keep going back to?
That's tough.
Yeah. That's really tough.
I don't know. Can you say that about any of us to each other? I mean, we could all say Adam Sandler for Kelly.
Yeah.
But I can't think of what you quote the most be or anybody.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. Kelly, definitely, we know that.
I mean, I might say I'm your Huckleberry more than anybody. And
you
more
might,
than
yeah.
Right.
And I might say that the most.
100%.
I mean, you guys,
that's my favorite movie of all time.
We'll have a group text. Hey, you want to go hang out? I'm your Huckleberry.
Standard.
You want to go to the baseball game? I'm your Huckleberry.
That's true. That's
you want to drink 32 beers? I'm your Huckleberry.
I mean, there's several ones I like to quote. That's a tough question.
Yeah. Or maybe
Black Dynamite.
Yeah, we stick.
Like, there's certain, you know, that one. But then, like, mob movies for me, obviously. I love the, you know, Rocky. I don't know, but that's tough. That's tough. Yeah.
You do quote Rocky a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if I could narrow. Yeah, I don't know.
I think Step Brother. That's the example I use.
That's a great one.
That's
too,
what came to me. That or Dumb and Dumber probably are the two.
Dumb and Dumber is probably mine. That's up there, too. Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, for sure.
Airplane's got to be in there for somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's frequently quoted.
Oh, you know what? 40-Year-Old Virgin. I do quote that a lot.
Yeah?
That might be, I do quote 40-Year-Old Virgin a lot. Yeah,
I think Dumb and Dumber for sure. I think Caddyshack. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time it rains, I probably say, I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for some time. I think I say that every time it rains.
Did we just become best friends?
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think it's more of a like a Rolodex of, like, I probably have like a dozen that I say a lot.
Oh, okay.
They're not necessarily the same movie.
So if you did a heat map on quotes, there would be an isolated, like you say, 8 to 12 that you just keep coming back. Well, we know that's 2 with Kelly. Mm-hmm.
But I would say mine are comedies. I mean, Huckleberry is a drama.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I would say majority, most of mine are comedies.
Majority of the rest of them would be comedies, for sure.
Yeah. Nick, you want to put your phone down and pay attention?
I was actually putting the score in.
I know.
Okay.
You got me for 9 here. There.
Thank you.
But, I mean, our Rolodex of movie quotes is enormous. So to narrow it down to 1 is impossible.
It is
I would
tough.
Say comedies more than anything else.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can say.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's impossible. There's too many. We do way too many.
Well, yeah.
You know?
But that's the nature of the conversation.
I'm known to speak entire conversations without any original dialogue.
How about, I'm probably stepping on a future question that I could use too, but how about an actor? Now, Kelly, again, Adam Sandler, right?
Yeah.
Is there an actor?
I quote a lot of Brad Pitt stuff.
Do you?
He's a nutbag. 7 when he's talking about finding the killer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, yeah.
What's in the box?
I say that a lot.
What's in the box?
I mean, Amazon can't get delivered without me saying that.
I say that.
Every time.
I mean, they
hate me.
And it's probably a movie they've never seen before.
Sarah,
okay.
Yeah. Quote De Niro a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you talking to me?
You talking to me?
And then also, I heard things.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying when you're on the phone with you and you keep saying that. You talking to me? Well, yeah. We've been talking for 10 minutes.
I called you.
Yeah.
Is there someone else on the phone?
Have you been drinking again?
I heard things.
Yeah, you should. You're on the phone.
He's also the only person that ever calls me, actually.
Yeah, that's just true. Well, him and my parents.
Yeah. No, I still, even my parents text me now. Mm. Brian, you're the only phone call I get anymore.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
It's
nostalgic.
Sometimes I'm just going to call because, like, I'm driving or whatever, or I don't want to sit there and, you know.
Don't text and drive, B.
That's
right.
So that's it. I'm okay with that.
It's a good lesson for you kids out there, too. All right. Anybody got any final thoughts for us?
No. Good episode, Andy. Okay. Well done.
Congrats, Scott.
Congrats again, yeah. Scotty.
We shredded that line there with iconic quotes, but Doc got it pretty darn quickly, so I'm going to leave that Willy Wonka in the iconic quotes
archive. That's fine. I was going to say maybe put a question mark at the title of the episode. Iconic movie quotes.
Ish. Right,
maybe.
Iconic-ish maybe. Movie quotes.
Well, we record this in my basement, and I have four movie memorabilia out there. Yeah. Three of them are Star Wars.
Yes.
And the fourth is my Gene Wilder Willy Wonka.
Is right.
Snozberries.
Played into his hand.
I have noticed that we have all very specifically avoided a couple of topics as we close out season one.
Oh, which ones?
Some of the TV shows that we all intensely.
Yeah.
Seinfeld.
Kelly really does need to write the Seinfeld since he is probably the weakest in there.
Oh, I easily could, but I guarantee you I wouldn't get a zero.
Yeah.
Shot fired.
But you might.
I will say that a majority of my Seinfeld knowledge, like we've done trivias where those questions, I know a lot of Seinfeld trivia.
Because of us?
Just from listening to you guys quote it.
Second-degree quotes?
Yes. That's amazing to
Secondhand
me.
Secondhand quoting.
Yeah. That is impressive. Yeah.
I started watching it after, I felt like, left out nerd kid when you guys are talking about this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit in the corner and twiddle my thumbs. So I started watching it, and it's humorous to me, but it's just not my thing.
Sure.
But I tried to watch it to catch up and get the quotes, but a majority of it is from hearing you guys quote it. Sure. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Did you not watch it when it first came out because your parents didn't love you or something?
Yeah, no.
They hated it. They thought it was stupid, too.
Were you blind the first, 20 years of your life? I don't get it.
They thought it was boring also.
Oh, okay. Must be an Arkansas thing.
Yeah. They didn't air TV.
They have a different kind of comedy
down
there.
New York City.
They don't like watching them Yankees,
Yeah. Well, Star Wars is what made me think of that. Okay. We've avoided that topic to some degree.
I can write that one also.
Yeah, there you go.
MCU is one that we'll probably see come up a time or two in the future.
Yeah.
And some specific television shows, The Office, Friends,
sure,
Parks and Rec,
Yeah.
Even something I've never seen, A Modern Family, but that is as popular as they come.
Great show.
One of the most popular of all time. So
maybe I need to write that one.
Yeah, probably.
Should.
Either. The Big Bang too.
I
like the Big Bang.
That'd be all right.
You could do a whole episode of Chuck Lorre, right?
Oh yeah,
Was
he a showrunner that made?
Yeah, I think Two and a Half Men. He's had a ton.
He's had a bunch. Yeah.
Greg Daniels did The Office.
That's right.
And Parks and Rec and a few others. There. Yeah.
Wait, who did The Office?
Greg Daniels.
I believe. It's Ricky Gervais. Come on.
Ah, there it is.
Ah, well, okay. We can do British shows too, for that matter. Yeah. Scott would have us there. I think. What? I think he likes British shows.
I know, four.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
You sound like you're from London.
It's been a heck of a run here this first year. Why do you say we keep going?
Yeah. Season two, coming your way.
No, one and done. I quit.
You're out.
Right. On a high note.
We're accepting applications for Kelly's seat in the corner over there. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and please drop us a message. In fact, leave us some requests for what topics you'd like to hear moving forward. Doesn't have to be pop culture. Yeah. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. And until then, keep those brains sharp and your bellies laughing.